Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise God. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Well, I've been ready to go since 9:57. Praise the Lord. Good to be here to have this nice warm building and wonderful to have this opportunity to worship the Lord. Let's open with a prayer before we do anything else. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day, thanking thee for thy goodness and for thy mercy. We thank thee for this privilege to be here in thy presence. And we pray, Lord, for thy blessings to be here today. We ask for thy anointing to be here today. We pray, Lord, that thou would accept our worship to thee here this day. And we pray that this worship would be acceptable. Inspire us to draw near to thee. We pray, Lord, that each and everything we do here this day would be pleasing in thy sight and according to thy perfect will. We ask that thou would inhabit the praises of thy people. For we know that thou art seeking those that will worship thee in spirit and in truth. So we pray, Lord, that thou would enable us to do so. We pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. If you can find your melodies of praise hymnal, we're going to start with number one. That's easy to find. Number one, all hail the power of Jesus' name. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And I'll make it real easy for you. Let's go to number two next. Praise him, praise him. Number two. Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaiming. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a Well, let's turn to number 95 and sing "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart," number 95. Change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Soul like this sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I am seized from my wandering, going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart, and the sins which were many are all washed away. Since Jesus came into pathway obscure, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Let's turn now to number 67 and sing "Love Lifted Me," number 67. So thankful that he did lift us out of those angry ways. Praise God. And we're going to take up the collection now. Chuck, could you help us with that, please? Thank you, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Praise our God.
Father in heaven, we thank thee this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee, Lord, for all thy blessings, for thy care towards this ministry, for thy love towards this ministry. And we marvel at thy sustaining mercy and grace, which has kept us for so many years. We pray, Lord, that thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct us in all things. Reveal to us thy perfect plan. Reveal to us thy will, and help us, O God, to always be obedient to thy will. And give us great wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy purpose and for thy glory, for the cause of thy holy and mighty name. We ask, Lord, that thou would bless the givers here this morning and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to pray for Carol. Most of us here know her, and we haven't seen her in quite a while. But, you know, she's had some health issues for quite some time, and last I heard, she's been struggling with high blood pressure. In fact, according to this message, it was 161, which is quite high. It's causing her to get lightheaded and pass out, and she's still battling an intestinal stomach issue. And this text also says that she's barely eating and she's losing a lot of weight. So we're going to pray for Carol and ask that the Lord would be merciful to her. You know, it really is amazing how much the Lord has helped her in the past. She's overcome a lot, and I know that the Lord can help her again. So let's pray for Carol right now. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day on behalf of Carol. We ask, Lord, that thou would be merciful to her. We pray, Lord, that thou would help her. We pray, Lord, that thou would heal her. We ask that thy healing virtues would flow and that she would see a full and complete recovery. We pray, Lord, that her blood pressure would stabilize and normalize. We ask, Lord, that thou would take away this intestinal disorder. We pray, Lord, that thou would give her a healthy appetite. And we pray, Lord, that she'd be able to eat and be strengthened and move about freely. We ask, Lord, that thou would help her to do all the things that she needs to do. Restore to her strength and power, we pray. We ask, O God, for thy healing virtues to flow right now. We know that thou art the healer and that nothing is too hard for thee. Thou art able to deliver, thou art able to save. So we pray, Lord, that thou would touch Carol right now. And we ask, O God, that thou would touch her even as we lift her before thee for a complete and full deliverance and recovery. We ask this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. We're going to sing one more song, and it's going to be in hymnal number 2. If you can find your hymnal number 2, it's got a big sticker on the front. And I just need to look up the number quickly. It's a song I have on my heart and on my mind, so I'm just going to look this up, and when I find it, we will turn there. Number 186, It Is Well With My Soul. Like a river attends. Wonderful thing to have that blessed assurance, isn't it? Praise God. To know that our sins have been taken away, that they've been nailed to the cross, and we bear them no more. Praise the Lord. Well, it's time for us to open our Bibles this morning. I'm putting a title on this message. We usually do that around here. It makes things easier. It makes things a little more memorable. It makes it easier to catalog them as well. You know, otherwise you just have to go by date. So it's good to have a title. And I think this is a good title. It's taken from Scripture. And anytime you have a title taken from Scripture, how could it not be good? After all, this whole book is good. That's why they call it the Good Book. The title of today's message is, We Faint Not. We Faint Not. And we will be starting in Lamentations chapter 3 to begin with this morning. Lamentations chapter 3. Before we read even one verse, we need to pray one more time, so that's what we're going to do right now. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day. Thank thee for this blessed scripture. We thank thee for this holy book. We thank thee that we can learn of thee and of thy mercy and of thy grace, thy wondrous plan of salvation. We thank thee that we can be strengthened and inspired by thy word. And we pray, Lord, that as we look upon thy holy book today, let there be no distractions or hindrances. Let our mind be firmly and fully focused on thee and on thy word. We pray, Lord, that there would be no hindrances whatsoever, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that thou art sovereign, thou art almighty God. There is none beside thee, there is none like thee, there is none greater than thee. And we know that there is no name greater than that almighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that thou would be with us as we go through thy word today. And we ask, O God, that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Now, you might be wondering, how did this message come about? And messages will come forth in a variety of different ways for a variety of different reasons. This one came forth because yesterday, I was exhausted. I mean, I was totally and completely exhausted. I got up very early, although I guess to some of you it perhaps wouldn't seem that early. I know it wouldn't seem early to Don, and probably not to Chuck and Carl either, but I got up at 6 yesterday, and I started writing the newsletter, which I've been working on for a couple of days. It ended up taking a lot longer than I was expecting. I didn't finish that newsletter until 6 p.m., so aside from some very short breaks, I was writing for about 12 hours straight. And by the time I finished writing, my brain was mush. I could barely hold a thought anymore. And that presented me with an interesting challenge, because I needed to preach today. And I knew that I was going to have to get a message from the Lord, but how was I going to do that when I was so tired and exhausted and worn out, and I was just having trouble even using my brain at that point? I couldn't help but wonder, well, how is this even going to happen? And then the Lord gave me some verses from Isaiah 40, and that's how it all started. We will be going there later as well. But this morning, we're going to start in Lamentations chapter 3, because I think all of us understand what it feels like to be worn out, to be tired. Sometimes people even get depressed. Sometimes they're in mourning. Sometimes it seems like everything is going wrong. And that's even more common in this day and age that we live in right now. People are irritable. People are getting tired. They have what they call pandemic fatigue. They had that a year ago. So as you can imagine, it's worse now. But there are a lot of things that fatigue people in this world, because this world is constantly putting pressure on all of us, and that makes life much more difficult. Now, there are going to be times when we might feel like we're in a hopeless situation, where life perhaps even seems futile. Perhaps it may even seem like the Lord is far away from you, or perhaps it might even seem like the Lord has forsaken you. You might get these thoughts in your mind sometimes, but don't lie to yourself, and certainly don't let the devil put thoughts in your brain. He might try, don't let him do it. The Lord will never forsake you. The Lord will never forsake you. And this book of Lamentations was written by the prophet Jeremiah, a man who had a lengthy career as a prophet. He saw a lot. He started as a very young boy, probably a teenager. It doesn't give his exact age, but we know he was young from Jeremiah chapter 1. And his career as a prophet lasted all the way to the final king, King Zedekiah, before the Israelites were carried off into captivity into Babylon, and before Jerusalem was sacked and destroyed in 586 BC. This book, the Book of Lamentations, was written as a result of that destruction in Jerusalem, and of course the destruction of the temple there as well. To look around at everything that had happened would have been very hard to bear. It would have been extraordinarily depressing, I would imagine. And just to see and experience all of the pain, the anguish, and the desolation, it truly must have felt and seemed hopeless. And of course, much of what you'll read in Lamentations sounds very bleak. In fact, as chapter 3 starts out, the beginning of this chapter does indeed sound very bleak. It sounds like a person who is at his wit's end, a person who is just overcome with grief. Let's look at what happened here in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 1, which tells us, "I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath." You know, there was something that the prophet Jeremiah understood. He looked around and he saw all of the desolation in Jerusalem, and that pained him greatly. It saddened him. He was filled with sorrow over that fact, but he also understood that this is exactly what those Israelites deserved. He understood that because of their sin, this fate had befallen that city. He knew that's why Jerusalem was brought to desolation. Verse 2, he hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. It must have felt, as he looked around, it must have felt like God had completely forsaken this people. And as a Jew beholding this destruction, he felt like perhaps God had even abandoned him. He was filled with so much grief. And sometimes that mindset will start to creep into your head, and it might overtake your thoughts, and you might start to even think these lies that the Lord doesn't care about you anymore, that the Lord has left you. No, he's not going to do that. And even though the Lord had allowed Jerusalem to be thrown into desolation, he certainly had not forsaken the remnant of his people, and he had not forsaken the prophet Jeremiah. Nevertheless, you can almost feel his grief in these words, because the way he expresses this is so vivid. Verse 3, surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. Gall is another word for venom or poison or something very bitter. Verse 6, he hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. Here he's expressing how he feels stuck. Have you ever felt stuck? If you've ever felt stuck, then perhaps you can relate to this sentiment. It seemed like everything was wrong. He hath made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. Sometimes we wonder, oh, we pray and we pray and we pray. Why doesn't God answer? Is he hearing our prayers? Well, I can guarantee you 100% that he is. Sometimes we start to wonder. Sometimes we might grow impatient, looking and waiting for an answer from the Lord. And sometimes the answer to your prayer might not be what you want, or it might not be what you're expecting. You know, sometimes the answer might be yes. Sometimes the answer might be no. Sometimes the answer might be wait. But he does answer our prayers. Nevertheless, to Jeremiah, as he's writing this, it felt like his prayers weren't being heard. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer, it tells us in verse 8. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. And we also need to understand that Jeremiah isn't really just expressing these sentiments for himself alone, but he's kind of speaking really for the entire nation and what they would have been feeling at this time. This wasn't just about Jeremiah, but this was about the Jewish people who had just endured this terrible heartbreak. Verse 11, he hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. You know, they must have felt this way, that God had made them desolate. But really, when you think about it, it wasn't God who had made them desolate. It was their sins that had made them desolate. And of course, we can look at all of the troubles in this world and how they have grown and intensified over the years, and it can all be traced back to one common cause. Yeah. That causes sin. That's why there's so much trouble in the world. That's why it seems like there's always more. Because there is sin in the world. Which is why when we get to that wonderful place where there is no sin, and we dwell with the Lord for all eternity, there will no longer be any trouble. Because trouble is a consequence of sin. Verse 12, he hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. You can sense how vulnerable they were feeling. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. And reins, that's unusual terminology for this day and age. You might be wondering what that means. And reins actually refers to an essential organ. And in many cases, the very same word in the original text that was used for reins here is also used for kidneys in the King James Bible. It doesn't necessarily have to be kidneys, but it is an essential organ, and in some cases it would be kidneys, but that's what's referred to here by reins, in case you were wondering. Verse 14, I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. And you might be wondering, well, what is wormwood? Wormwood is actually a noxious and bitter herb. So he's using this to express the bitterness that is being felt not only by Jeremiah, but as a nation. And being drunken of wormwood would mean that you're very much filled with bitterness, which makes sense in light of what he had just said in verse 15. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. If you were drunken with wormwood, you would most assuredly be filled with bitterness. Verse 16, he hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. Well, that sounds very unpleasant too, doesn't it? And very painful. Like I said, the imagery in this chapter is very vivid. He hath covered me with ashes, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And how could you think of prosperity in situations like this? It seems like everything was over, everything was gone. It seemed like God had forsaken his people. It seemed like things were hopeless. Verse 18, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. And there you have it. He felt like he had no strength. He felt beaten, worn down, and grieved. And he felt like there was no hope. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Obviously, there's a lot of emotional grief happening here. And you can feel the pain in the words that were written down even as we read them today, all these thousands of years later. It seemed hopeless, and I'm sure they were wondering what they should do. But you know what, the prophet Jeremiah, he kind of was going over this in his mind. And then all of a sudden, that Spirit of the Lord reminded him of something very, very important. Verse 21 tells us, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, all of us might feel sometimes like our life is going horribly wrong. It may seem like this entire world is in a terrible state, and much of it is. But you know what? The fact that you woke up this morning and you got out of bed and your heart is beating and you are breathing, and you were well enough to be able to come to church this morning, all of that shows us that we're very blessed. And the fact that we're able to do all of this is because of the mercy of the Lord. Yes. You are a survivor because you survived to see another day. You are an overcomer because you overcame those past days. It may seem like there's no hope, but when you wake up in the morning and the sun comes up, you can be filled with the optimism provided by the Spirit of God. An optimism that we have because we know that the Lord is with us, that He has not forsaken us, and that He never will. Sometimes it may seem like He's far away, and we might wonder, where are You, Lord? But just remember something, the Lord doesn't leave you. If you feel far away from the Lord, you're the one that moved. Thankfully, you can go back to Him, and He can come back to you. But it is of His mercy and His compassions that fail not that we are able to wake up in the morning and continue this journey of life. Everyone, all of us, are on a road that leads to eternity. And for those of us who got up this morning, that journey continued. That is by the mercy and the grace of God. And really, if you get up early enough to see the sunrise, it's a beautiful thing. God's creation is beautiful. And even just looking around at God's creation, that can fill us with an optimism. We know that He's still with us despite these hard times and everything that we're going through. He's right there. And He sees all of our pain and our sorrows and our suffering. You know, when the Israelites were in bondage to the Egyptians for 400 years, God saw their affliction. He saw everything. He heard every cry. And the day came when He sent deliverance. So just remember, if you feel pain and sorrow in your life, cry out to God and He will hear your cry. He will hear your cries. He is able to send deliverance. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. You know, if you really want help from the Lord, there's two things you can do. Wait on the Lord and seek Him. Seek Him with your whole heart. Don't do it half-heartedly, but put some effort into it, because I tell you what, it's worth it to know personally the very Creator of the universe. To have a personal relationship with God, that's worth some effort. He's looking for people who are willing to put in that effort. He's looking for those who will wait on Him for answers. He's looking for those that will seek Him. Verse 26 tells us, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Oh yes, we can hope in the Lord. After all, Jesus Christ is our very hope. In fact, He's our only hope. Did you know that? And so we hope in Him and we quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. If you're ever feeling tired or exhausted, worn out, depressed, grieved, whatever the case may be, well, this is what you need to do. Hope in the Lord Jesus and quietly wait for His salvation. And when you do that, He has a way of lifting you up, of strengthening you, even when you feel like you're at your weakest. And that's why I want to turn now to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 has some wonderful verses to look at when you're feeling tired and exhausted. We can take these verses, we can lay them to heart, because they are still as true today as they were when they were written down by the prophet Isaiah all these years ago. Isaiah 40, and we're not going to do the whole chapter, just the tail end of it, but we're going to look at verse 28, which tells us, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary?" There is no searching of his understanding. You know, we get tired. We get worn out. But God never does. He never gets tired. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He never gets worn down. He never gets discouraged. And he's never in a situation where he doesn't know what to do. We often find ourselves in situations where we're not sure what to do. But seek the one who knows exactly what you should do, because he's the one who knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He sees the whole and complete picture. He sees everything that we can't see. And he knows it all. There is no searching of his understanding. You know, it's actually kind of impossible for us to comprehend this, because we are mere mortal human beings. But there is nothing that God doesn't know. He knows absolutely everything. I know that there are some people who walk around like know-it-alls, who seem to think that they know everything, but no human being can say that truthfully. It's true of God. He knows absolutely everything. There is no searching of his understanding. And yet he is so merciful. You know, I'm glad that we have a merciful God, because a God with his understanding, his knowledge, if it wasn't a loving God, we would be in quite a pickle, wouldn't we? And he does not respond to us as other people would. People have this tendency to be cruel. Yet God is so loving, patient, kind, and compassionate with all of us. He gives us more than we deserve. He gives us more chances and opportunities than we deserve. His patience is mind-boggling. His long-suffering is astonishing. After all, after everything that has transpired in this world, and after all of the evil deeds that have been done, we're still here. We are still here. And that is incredible. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's what happens when you wait on the Lord. He is able to renew your strength. Have you ever felt so tired that you felt like you didn't have any strength left in you? Have you ever felt so tired that you felt like you couldn't do anything? Perhaps you've been so tired it was even a labor to stand up. Well, he is able to strengthen you, because he is the one not lacking of strength. He is almighty. He has an abundance of strength, more than he even needs, really. And the good news is, he's willing to share it with you. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Yes, we can take this promise and lay it to heart. And you know, there was a man who lived thousands of years after this was written down. But I know that he would have known these verses because he was well acquainted with Old Testament scripture. I'm talking about a man named the Apostle Paul. A man who faced many trials in his life. He endured much tribulation, and I am sure that there were many moments where he felt exhausted too. You look at the things that he had to go through after he became a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 28 tell us, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. You know, it's hard to imagine receiving 40 stripes even once. Of course, at this time in the Roman Empire, they would do 39 because there was a belief that if they went over 40, it could kill you. So just to be extra safe, they do 39 stripes. 40 save one. That was the policy of the Roman military. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Like I said, it would be almost unimaginably painful to endure that even once, but he had to endure it five times. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. I know that that doesn't talk about, he's not talking about marijuana there. Nowadays, I mean, some people might read that and wonder what it means, because you get people walking around all over the place saying, I'm so stoned, you know, and they all want to legalize it too. And that's not what it's talking about. Paul was literally stoned with rocks. They flung them at him, and by and large, most of the time when that happened to people, you didn't get up and walk away from it. When the Jews would do that, when they would angrily stone somebody, they were doing so with the intent to kill that person. Once was I stoned. Incredibly, he survived that. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Three shipwrecks. You know, most people, if you suffered one shipwreck, you'd never get on a boat again. But he had a lot of resolve. And so he endured three shipwrecks. A night and a day, I have been in the deep. Yeah, that sounds like a bad night. You know, I once had to spend the night at O'Hare Airport, and it was miserable. But I tell you what, this would be worse. Spending a whole night, an entire night, in the deep, in the water, in the sea. You have to imagine it must have been very cold. And it's kind of a miracle that he survived that too. Because when you're in the water that long, your chances of survival would be very slim. So he was in the day for a whole, he was in the deep for a whole night and a day. Verse 26 in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Well, that was a lot. You know, he wrote of robbers, so obviously there must have been times when he was robbed. During those times when he actually had something to be robbed of, there were times when he didn't have anything. But he was often betrayed by false brethren, often betrayed by his own countrymen. There were, everywhere he went on his travels, people were out to get him. And the reason people were out to get him was because the devil was desperately trying to stop that work from going forward. After all, the gospel was being shared everywhere he went. Churches were being founded. In fact, it made such an impact on the world during that day that they were accused of turning the entire world upside down. That is quite an impact. And he didn't even have a website. Nevertheless, he endured all these things, and on top of all that, he wrote, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. You know, it's a lot of work caring for just one church, but he had multiple churches to care for and take care of, churches that he helped found, and I'm sure that he wrote many more epistles than we actually have. Not every epistle that he wrote is in the Bible, just the ones that God selected for our benefit. There are many others. Nevertheless, you look at everything that he had to do, and you can't help but feel that his life must have been absolutely exhausting. And yet, to him, it was worth it all. It was worth it all. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What was driving the Apostle Paul? Why did he willingly go through all these things? Well, he's going to tell us why in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 tells us, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. I'm sure there are many times that he must have been tired and exhausted, and yet the Lord always strengthened him, because if there was one thing the Apostle Paul knew how to do, it was wait on the Lord for that strengthening power from God. That's why he was able to write here, we faint not. Verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Did you know it's possible to handle the word of God deceitfully? In fact, even the devil tried to quote scripture when he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness. The devil knows scriptures too. And what he'll try to do is take them out of concept, out of context, so he can use them to deceive people. And sometimes there will be ministers and speakers and televangelists, pastors and so forth, who do the same thing, handling the word of God deceitfully. The Apostle Paul is warning about that very thing. And of course, in this time period that he lived, he was used to the Pharisees and the chief priests and the scribes and the Sadducees all using the word of God and handling the word of God deceitfully. It was a common practice, and it had been for a long time. It's something we still have to contend with today. That's why we read this whole book. Because if you want the entire context of what you're reading, you have to read the whole book. Get the whole picture. Sometimes you might find verses that look confusing, but hopefully the Lord will lead you to another verse that explains the verse you're confused about. Amen. We let Scripture interpret Scripture. So, verse 3 tells us, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Why was he so driven? Why is it he never gave up? Why is it he endured all of those things? Whippings, beatings, scourgings, stoning. Why did he endure all of those things? Because he knew something very important. He knew that if he didn't share the gospel, there were people who wouldn't hear it. Because God had given him that task. It was his job. It was his duty to share the gospel. He took it very seriously. And he wasn't going to give up. He wasn't going to let himself burn out or become so exhausted that he could no longer function. No, he said, we faint not. And why? because if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice here, at the beginning of this verse, verse 4, it has God with a lowercase g, G-O-D. That's not talking about our God. It's talking about the God of this world. In other words, the one that many people, either knowingly or unknowingly, worship as God. And you know who that is? The devil. In fact, all of these so-called gods and goddesses from various pagan and heathen religions from over the years, all these so-called deities, are really all just devils in disguise. And of course, those lower-level devils all serve their master, who is Satan. And ultimately, if you're following those devils, then Satan would be the god of this world, lowercase. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. And people have been blinded. Notice here, it's not a physical blindness, but a blindness of the mind. You ever wonder sometimes why people can't seem to think? Why they can't seem to comprehend things that should be simple? It's because sometimes that deceiver, the devil, Satan, the adversary, will come in and blind the minds of the people. And until God sets that mind free, there's nothing that you can say or do to penetrate that mind. God has to open the hearts and the minds of the people. Thank God he does it. He did it for all of us here, I believe. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice here, we see yet another verse in Scripture which tells us that Jesus Christ is the image of God. In fact, Hebrews chapter 1 tells us he is the express image of his person. That's why when we get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus. If you read the book of Revelation, it tells us there's one throne and one sat upon the throne. Who's sitting upon the throne? The one who is the image of God. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, that's what it takes to penetrate a mind that has been blinded, a mind that has been darkened, a mind that has been deceived. You know what it takes? It takes the light of Jesus Christ. That light is powerful enough to shine through that darkness. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. He shines in, right into the very core of our being. And when he does that, suddenly you can understand things that you could never understand before. You can comprehend things that never made sense to you before. To give the light of the knowledge. Notice here, the light of the knowledge. When he gives you his light, he gives you knowledge. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Yes, that light allows us to experience the very glory of God, which is why we who are here on earth today in this building right now can be in heavenly places with Christ Jesus right now. For he has promised to be here right here with us. He's here with us in this very building. And yes, his light has shined through that stubborn darkness so that we can have the knowledge of the glory of God. Where is it? In the face of Jesus Christ. You know, when you one day behold the glory of God,
with your very eyes. You know where you're going to see it? In the face of Jesus Christ. That is where you are going to behold, literally behold, the glory of God. Because Jesus Christ is what makes the glory of God visible. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He's talking about a treasure here. He's not talking about gold, silver, American dollars, or Bitcoin. But he's talking about the excellency of the power of God. That is a treasure that we should lay hold on. Verse 8, we are troubled on every side. And that's something we can relate to in this world, because we see trouble on every side, quite literally. This world that we live in today goes from one conflict to the next. One trouble to the next trouble to the next trouble. It's a constant source of trouble everywhere in the world. And there's usually more than one at a time. You know, we've been living with this pandemic for over 2 years now. People are getting tired of it. Thankfully, it seems like, at least in certain places now, it could be close to ending. In fact, in Denmark, they said they're going back to normal as of February 1st. And all of the mandates and the special rules and restrictions are canceled, because they said that Denmark is pretty much over COVID now. It's done. And in Great Britain there, in the United Kingdom, they are canceling a lot of their restrictions there too. And even a lot of these scientists are saying now that because Omicron is so contagious, that it could actually bring about herd immunity. It could do what those vaccines could never accomplish, you know. But because it's so contagious and milder, it means a lot of people are going to get it, but most of them won't become, deathly ill. So your chances of survival if you get Omicron are very good, and it's spreading. It's still spreading. There's a lot of it in this country, and I'm still trying not to get it. I don't want it, and I'm hoping that the Lord will help me do that. And if you can avoid it, I would certainly encourage you to do so. But nevertheless, a lot of people are going to get it, and eventually, these experts are saying that in 2 or 3 months, it could be over. In fact, even the CEO of Pfizer said that. In 2 or 3 months, we could be back to normal. So we'll see if that actually happens or not. I know they've said similar things in the past, but I guess it's a reason to be hopeful. But, you know, that's not the only problem in this world. There is so much hatred in this country right now that historians are saying that right now in the United States, this country is ripe for a civil war. You have two sides with irreconcilable differences. Straight down the line, split. It's like a chasm, a big gulf, and those two sides are never going to agree. And they don't like each other. They're not even civil to each other. And that reminds me of an old saying I heard somewhere. I forget who said it, but they said there's nothing civil about a civil war. Nevertheless, historians are warning that we're in a very dangerous situation right now in this country, just because there's so much hatred and animosity. But even that is not the only problem in this country, along with the pandemic that's been going on for a while now. You got this conflict over there in Europe between Russia and Ukraine, and they keep saying that Russia could attack Ukraine at any moment. Now, I don't know if they will. At this point, I don't think anybody knows if they will, except for perhaps Putin, and of course the Lord knows, but they have amassed 100,000 troops at the border with Ukraine. And of course, the United States has 8,500 soldiers standing at the ready on high alert in case we need to go over there and, a fight breaks out. So obviously, that makes things very tense. and you have all of these government officials and so forth warning about a war in Europe. Of course, a war between Russia and Ukraine could quickly devolve into a greater conflict involving more countries. Really, Russia hates NATO. And the reason they're talking about invading Ukraine in the first place is because they absolutely do not want Ukraine to become part of NATO. And they're trying to force the United States and NATO, that entire alliance, the North American Treaty Organization, to say that Ukraine will never be admitted into that alliance. So, of course, the United States has refused to give Russia that assurance. And so we're at a point now where war could easily break out. At the same time, you have China just chomping at the bit to invade Taiwan. And it wouldn't surprise me that if the United States and NATO were distracted with Russia contending with that conflict, it wouldn't just surprise me at all if China decided to use that opportunity to go ahead and invade Taiwan at the same time. Yes, we live in very troubling times. And, of course, all of us are contending with this enormous inflation. It seems like every time we go to the grocery store, prices are a little higher. I know my wife gets frustrated sometimes because I know this was a while ago. I think this was last month. She went over to Recheck there. She wanted to get some broccoli, and it was $7. So she didn't buy any. That was too much. But, you know, we see these prices go up. But it's interesting because I read recently that the American people right now are in more debt than ever before. And the reason for that is because they're still trying to live the way they were before all of this inflation came in and started to take hold in this country. And to do that, they have to use their credit cards. And so the debt keeps building and building and building, and people are in a lot of trouble. So yes, it's safe and it's accurate to say that we are troubled on every side. As it tells us in verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Oh, this world could be confusing sometimes. You might get perplexed when you see the things happening in this world, but you do not have to be in despair. Listen, if the Apostle Paul can write this, a man who endured so much, if he can say that we can be without despair, that we don't have to be in despair, if he can live his life without being in despair, then we should be able to as well. Because even though some of us may have had things terribly rough, it doesn't compare to what the Apostle Paul went through. Verse 9, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. And yes, Christian people, for all of these years, for these 2,000 years since Jesus Christ was on earth, the Christian people have always been persecuted. And thankfully, we've enjoyed tremendous freedom here in this country. I'm thankful that we can come here today. We don't have to worry about the sheriff beating down the door and hauling us off to detention camps. They do that sort of thing in China, you know, if they find you at an underground church. We've enjoyed great freedom in this country. There's less of it now than there used to be, but we still have quite a bit of it here, at least in the state of Wisconsin. I know there are other places in this country where they have so many restrictions now, you can almost do nothing if you haven't been vaccinated. But here, we're able to do this, and so we tend to not always be cognizant of persecution. You know, we tend to forget about it maybe because it doesn't affect us personally very much at this present time in this country. But that could change too as things grow increasingly worse. Nevertheless, even when we endure persecution, we're still not forsaken. Persecuted but not forsaken. God is with us, even if we are persecuted. And he's with every Christian living through persecution right now. They say actually the most dangerous place to be a Christian right now is in Afghanistan. They surpassed North Korea, which is hard to believe, because of the fact that the Taliban has come in and taken over in Afghanistan. Of course, they hate the Christian people. Nevertheless, those Christians in Afghanistan are not forsaken. The Christians in North Korea are not forsaken. And it says, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You know, we live for Him. In Him we live, we move, we have our being. Our lives are a reflection of His will. Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. He's saying, yes, we have to go through all these things as Christians, but it's worth it. And the Lord will not forsake you. He will not allow you to be destroyed. He will be with you even in times of persecution, even in times of trouble, even in times of distress, even in times of mourning, even in times of sorrow. He's right there with you. And He's able to grasp you by the hand and pull you up and to hold you up. Oh, His strength is unlimited. Like I said, He's willing to share with you. Verse 13, we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Oh, you want something to be thankful for? Think about the grace of God that He has extended to you, that He has offered to you grace. You know, it's an amazing grace, isn't it? We don't deserve it. It's undeserved love. And yet He loves us so much that He has extended it to us. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Why did He keep going? Even though He had to endure so much hardship, why did he keep going? Why is it He refused to give up? Because He knew that the gospel needed to be shared. He knew that because of His work, people would be able to experience the abundant grace of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He knew what it was like to be tired. That's what He means by outward man perish. Oh yes, there were times when He was exhausted too. But He knew that the Holy Ghost would renew His inward man each and every day. And when your spirit is renewed by the Holy Ghost, that also strengthens the outer man as well. It strengthens your flesh. It gives you resolve and determination to do the things that have to be done, even though the things that have to be done may not always be easy. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction. You know, this is amazing. You think of everything that we talked about that the Apostle Paul endured. And here he's calling it light affliction. Yeah. light affliction. Scourging, whipping, beating, stoning, shipwrecks. Light affliction. You know, if he can look at all those things that happened to him and say that that was light affliction in comparison to what God had waiting for him, then I think it's safe to say that all of us, whatever we have endured, can say it's light affliction in comparison to what God has waiting for us. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In the end, the things that are eternal are the things that are going to matter. And this is why the Apostle Paul refused to give up. This is why he had to wait on God to be strengthened. Look, we all know what it feels like to be discouraged in this world. We've all felt that. Perhaps we felt it recently. But he can lift you up. Oh yes, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Praise the Lord. He's the one who can renew your strength. Can mount up with wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint, because he shares with us the strength we need to overcome all of the trials and tribulations of this world. If Paul could keep going, we can keep going too. In fact, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, he wrote, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He knew that he had a prize waiting for him. And if you stay faithful to God, you have a prize waiting for you too. You know what it is? Eternal life with Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to read verses 17 and 18 again in closing. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And the things that are eternal are the things that are going to matter the absolute most. The absolute most. So, if you're ever feeling tired and worn down, that's to be expected. We live in a fallen world filled with difficulties. But look to the one who has no lack of strength, the one who is never weary, the one who is able to lift you up. And when you do that, then we can confidently say, we faint not. Praise the Lord. Let's close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day, thanking thee for thy goodness and for thy mercy and for thy grace. We thank thee for the strength that we find in thee. We thank thee, O God, that we are able to rely on thee and thy mercy and thy grace. We pray, Lord, that thou would be with all of thy people. Strengthen us in the days ahead. Give us the ability to do all that we need to do. Help us to endure to the very end. Help us, O God, to not forsake the gospel that thou hast given us. And help us, O God, to be shining lights in this lost and dying world. We pray, O God, that thou would strengthen thy people who are here in this building, those who are listening online, and those who will hear this recording later. We also pray for all of the Christian people scattered all throughout this world. We ask, O God, for thy strength to be upon them, and we pray, Lord, that thy grace would be upon them as well. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise. We're going to open our chorus books and sing a chorus in closing. Let's turn to number 48 in the chorus book, They That Wait Upon the Lord. Thank you.
praise the Lord. Glory to God.
You're dismissed into prayer in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.